vote, please. Salute and pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. First thing we'll do is a roll call for attendance.
Director Blair.
Here.
Simon.
Here.
Here.
Here. Okay, everyone's accounted for. The first item on the agenda tonight is approval of minutes. This will be for the regular meeting of January 17 and a special meeting of January 24. Once you've reviewed them, I have one little comment on the first. Let's see. Minutes to the January 17th meeting on the second page, item number 7. Is it appropriate to call that a property exchange for a parcel number? Or is that just a reversion to the original developer? We weren't exchanging anything, were we?
No.
It's not really a property exchange. Right. I would say a reversion of the parcel to the original developer or something like that. And that's all I had. Do the directors have anything else? Okay. Do I have a motion then?
Make a motion to approve the minutes for two meetings.
Okay. Motion by Director Blair. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Director Fairbanks. All directors in favor of approving the minutes from those meetings, January 17th and January 24th, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Public comments period. Anything that you'd like to speak to, we ask that you keep it to 3 minutes or less, and these are items that are not on the agenda tonight. Mr. Schneider, yep, please state your name.
John Schneider, I have a couple of things. One, we've been reading some interesting reading here, and I want to give a copy to Bob Blair and have him direct Doug Jones to copy that for the rest of you. It's on water rights. Secondly, I have a letter from the Simcoe Coast Greenhouse Growers Association on the 80-30-30, which I copied to give it smaller. And lastly, I had this question here, which is... There's
enough copies for everybody here.
Yeah. I do have enough copies. And lastly, my real question is, I'd like to know if the Nacoma Community Services District has determined that there is an overdraft in the Nacoma water table, and if so, when was the determination made, what data and studies were used to make that determination, and what area was included in that determination?
Okay.
Do you have any comments for the Jones? The board official might kind of stuck in there.
What's that?
An official determination, as opposed to just a...
Okay, define official form.
Well, has there been any resolution or motion?
No, it's been a...
Well, before you answer that question, I would assume that what they're asking for us to do is to research prior board action, going back how far?
Not to 1970.
Okay, 1970. I mean, I just think it would be unfair to respond to that without many of the, I wasn't here, and many of the board members, we only have a limited experience of time.
Let me ask this question: does anybody know of any determination that has actually been made?
I don't know. I don't have any recollection. I can't put my mind on any specific action, but I know that in the past there was a moratorium on building that was based, and I'm not sure, and it's only because of some research I've done and some old records.
I'm aware of the moratorium on building.
I believe it was based, I'm really way out of my bailiwick because I haven't looked at it recently, on water, on the availability of water. I don't know what determinations were made by the board during that period of time or what findings were there, but it may well go to the heart of your question, and so I think it'd be appropriate that.
Let me just make a comment. Ordinance 87-51, I believe it was, and ordinance is 89-52. I hope I haven't transposed those numbers for the various years, but.
No, the board has to direct us to do it.
There were two ordinances that the board adopted in the late 80s. I think they were those numbers.
The 87-51
and? I think so. And 89-52. Don't quote me on that. It'll be evident from the titles on the ordinances if I'm correct. But it was. They were ordinances that had to do no further consideration of annexations due to a limited supply of water and an overdraft, and that I believe there were some references to studies to support those ordinances.
Okay.
So those two are going to be on the books somewhere. They may not be reflected totally in the code because the code has simplified some of those passages. But they were ordinances, and there was 2-year termination, like sunset clauses on them, for to be reconsidered every 2 years. And I think in 91, when the second ordinance came up, it was allowed to expire.
Okay, I'll
those are the two, and there may be some, there may be some secondary references in those ordinances.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any further questions or comments on items that aren't on the agenda tonight? Okay. All right, let's move on to item number 3. This is board administration. First item under that category is an intent to serve, tract 1736. Mr. Jones?
Okay, Mr. President, the district received a request from William Gormley of intent to serve letter for tract 1736, which is the 21 lot subdivision near the intersection of Cope Lane and Sousa Street. Lot size on this development, since it's an R3 area, are quite small, 3,500 to 5,000 square foot areas. And there's a tract map in your packet showing the size of these lots and the configuration of these. Since it's really small lots, basically smaller than normal lots, the water use would be somewhat less than the average small lot, and estimated at about 7,000 or 700 acre feet a year usage, and water would be generated about 4,000 gallons per day for wastewater. The developer has entered into a plan check and inspection agreement a number of years ago, and has paid the sewer portion of the plan check inspection agreement, but the water portion has not been completed yet.
Okay.
If the board wishes to proceed on it, it's recommended that before the intent to serve letter be issued, that the plan check inspection agreement for water be executed and the fees paid and the improvement plans be submitted to the district for approval and all appropriate easements be dedicated to district and improvements, and that the fees be paid and the normal conduit for future phone service be installed.
Okay. Any representatives of the tract here, the project, 1736? Okay, nobody's here. Any board questions for Mr. Jones on this item?
How wide is the street?
It's right up behind the...
How wide
is it?
It's another one of those narrow street things?
It's probably it's a 50-foot street, Sousa and Colt Lane.
Well, it looks like it's half the width of this Colt Lane.
Well, it's a 24-foot street in the subdivision.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So there's no way you can park like on either side or whatever.
It'd be difficult.
How do you turn around at the end?
They have a T-type intersection at the end, looks like, so that they can turn one thing and back up into the opposite T and then come back up.
I just...
Three-point turnabout streets.
I really don't. I mean, that's why when we went to that meeting with Slough Park, why we should get involved, we should have some input in planning. These things, streets are terrible. There's no place for people to park. You get a fire in there, there's no way to get a fire engine in there. I don't have any problems with the density, but like this thing that's behind us, or wherever it is, I can never point in the right direction. It's the same thing. It's these little tiny streets serving a whole bunch of people where they don't have room to move around. Most people, it doesn't matter what size house they have, they got two cars. There's not adequate off-street parking or anything. Yet the county seems to keep, they think this stuff is wonderful. And
this has received county approval, right? The design of the subdivision?
Yes. I mean, we have basically no land use powers and the county has jurisdiction over that.
I understand.
And this doesn't even have a cul-de-sac at the end where people can turn around. It just goes nowhere and ends at nothing.
Director Blair's making a good argument, though, for having a little bit more insight into the planning
or at
process,
least see it beforehand, you know. I mean,
some of these are kind of fascinating.
Because the community's got to live with this thing down the road, and it just, you know, somebody's going to build a whole bunch of little houses, and I can see people getting houses at a reasonable price, but I think they ought to have a street in front of their house that utilities and services can get up in, especially if there's a fire or ambulance. If old people live in here, you could never get an ambulance in there with a bunch of cars out there on the street.
Not defending the county, but they have their standard planning standards that they have to meet for certain developments. And it's assumed, and maybe it's a wrong assumption, that all these meet their standards. And if they meet their standards, I don't know if you can put additional restrictions on.
Yeah, but Nepal is supposed to be like semi-rural, and it seems like, you know, these people in the county talk a good talk. We don't like Los Angeles development. We don't like this. You see all these environmentalists jumping up and down. But then every time that we get something down here in Napomo, this is worse than stuff you find in Los Angeles. I mean, my son lives down here in a street like this.
This is not R1 or 1A. It's R3, which is multi-zoning units.
Right.
Yeah, I know, but it's still going to be a problem.
It allows
just back to the meeting, the Slough Park. I think we should have some sort of look-see at this kind of stuff. Because they just stick it in here and go down the road, and we're stuck with it.
There might be a planning commission job open up for you.
No. I'm looking for something a little further up the road than that.
It'll be Blakely's assistant.
I'm going to give you some assistance.
Is there any comments from the audience on this track, track 1736? It's within our district boundaries. We have no land use control, so it's kind of routine. Any board questions or comments? Is there anything you wanted to add, Mr. Jones or Mr. Seitz?
No.
Okay. So, Chairman, I'll entertain a motion then that we issue an intent to serve with the conditions, including the payment of that. Check and inspection for water.
I have a question. Tim, is it legal for us to submit a letter stating our disapproval each and every time that we see something like this? I mean, it doesn't mean we can't okay this thing, but just to let the county know where we stand.
Sure.
Like this.
Sure.
Okay, do we have to do that with a motion? Or what's the case?
Yeah, that'd be one appropriate way to do it on a case-by-case basis, or the district, you know, could send a policy position, you know, have a staff report and say, generally, we like the roads to be X wide, and things have, as, although it's without your authority, my experience is the board, the County Planning Commission normally takes into consideration the request of a special district, especially a community services district, because the whole intent in forming community service districts was eventually the first or last step towards incorporation. That's why the word community got into the, this. So I would assume that the county would consider it. How much weight they give it would be up to the County Planning Commission and the Engineering Department.
Well, I would suggest that before we send letters on particular projects, maybe we get a you know, unified position, maybe a street width that we like, you know, look at. I don't have a good feel for what's substandard and what's not standard as far as, and we need to take a tape maybe to go through them around here. But it would be nice to put some substance in the letter with the real numbers so, you know, you have a little comparison, a checklist, if you will.
The county has, you know, a yellow book out, which is all their standards of different street widths, depending on the type of which they go by.
Okay. Is it possible for us to get a copy of that?
Yeah,
just for review and comment, maybe?
But even if they write, if they put it in a book, that's kind of meaningless if it isn't going to work. I agree with Bob Blair that this thing, if they ever had a fire at the end, or get the whole out of it, they just couldn't get out of there.
Well,
and that fire could spread like crazy.
Right. Most of these things come in, and with, especially with CDF, is they're very stringent. I mean, I'm sure that CDF looked at this and said, yeah, we need a turnaround space at the end of the building. Otherwise, they would never approve it.
Well, they say on the list here where it shows a one of the homes that surveyor was had it approved by the county of Los Angeles because it met with their, it complies with the lot division ordinance of the county of San Luis Obispo. If it really does comply, then I think somebody should get on the ball and tell them it's not right, whether it complies or not. It's not right, period. And I think somebody should take a stand, and I think perhaps that should be us or somebody that knows more about it than we do.
Basically, there's three agencies that I know that could respond to something like this. One is Ruth Brackett's
NAG,
and that's basically what those type of organizations were formed, was to advise the Planning Commission on various topics, and that would be one source. Of course, this district would be another source. What, possibly the Chamber would be the other source? That could,
well, wouldn't it be nice if we could get forget fighting about water for a while and fight this one?
Yeah, but that's not going to work. Nice try.
Well, we can make it work. Yeah. Let's try it.
I think we should at least let them know.
Oh, I mean, putting the water issue aside.
Did you mean that?
Yeah, that's not going
to
work.
We're supposed to be looking for the long-term good of the community.
That's right.
I just don't think this kind of stuff long term. I can see the housing, I can see the need for small units, but I can't see the need for this kind of street. This probably, the county's not even going to maintain this, so they don't care. It's probably part of a homeowners association or something like that. And maybe the developer gets by with 10 extra plus feet of asphalt. That isn't that expensive.
Is the street width travel with the type of development? This is R3, so I'm sure it requires a certain minimum width. Maybe different than an R1 neighborhood.
Right, and these plans have to be signed off by the fire department, which if they don't comply with the fire department regulations, they won't sign off on.
Right. It appears that most of the comments that we're getting are related to street width and maybe the fact that there's only one street as well and a turnaround place. How big is that section, do you think, in the county planning document? Could we maybe get a photocopied section of that?
Of the street?
Well, yeah, of their portion of the yellow book that you said they have. And, you know, maybe we're not going to redline their document, but it might give us a starting point.
Yeah, it looks like that T at the end is a 10-foot wide T where someone can pull in and back in and then back up and come back out the way they came in.
Yeah.
Doug, at this stage of this process, has it been approved by fire?
I don't know. When the improvement plans get, there are some improvement plans, but this particular project has configuration that changed a couple of times. And that the district, or the applicant has submitted improvement plans, and the district had checked the water and sewer and the location of fire hydrants based on what CDF requires. There's one fire hydrant, I think, in the subdivision and one at the entrance, which need to be upgraded.
Just people live out in a rural area, some of the people live out on acreage in a rural granny, they're requiring them to put in driveways almost this big. This friend of mine built put a trailer out on, I think, 5 acres, and they wanted something like a 20-foot driveway, and they wanted it paved so a fire engine could get up there and, you know, there was room to pass. Here you got, I don't know how many units, 21 units, and it's about the same type of deal. I mean, there's something wrong somewhere.
It's a horrible house.
There you go.
Well, you know, you can look at this is R3. The guy can come in there and put an apartment house and put a driveway around the outside for parking, which is probably less than 24 feet wide. He can go by with a 10-foot driveway around. You know, and you know, here again, I'm not sure what the county, but the county is pretty stringent on a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If we're trying to develop anything around here.
Right. So it's likely that they went there first. They're not required to go there first, though, before they ask us for a well serve, are they? I know they are in annexations. The county approvals have to be gained first.
Normally you have to go to the county first and submit the tract map so they can get a number. And a lot of people come in and I say, well, before you submit your improvement plans, et cetera, to the district, we need a tracking number, so you need to go to the county and get a number. And so they have to go to the county first before it comes out.
Right, but there's an iterative cycle that occurs as far as changes that may occur to the development after they get that track number, right? I mean, it goes through a change cycle,
yeah,
and then the final approval. Okay. All right, well, anyone have suggestions as to how to approach this? I had one, you know, get the county book and start there and see how we want to change it. At least for consideration of the Pomo area projects. Or if we want to change it, it may be perfectly good document.
Or if you want, you can continue this item for the next meeting. I can include it.
Okay. Bring it back to the board next meeting. Maybe we can decide on what size street or something on the street size or something.
And I'll contact the applicant, have him come up here, and he can probably answer these questions.
Well, basically, all we would be doing is making a recommendation to the county.
Yes, that's all.
They may put it in Final 13, but at least we've put it on record.
Well, and then, you know, the packet was sent to the applicant, right? And what we're trying to do, and maybe next time we'll just ask the applicant that he should be here to answer questions to the board.
Well, let's
but let him know
easy.
That that really has nothing to do with his intent to, intent to serve.
Get some type of unified position and approach, you know, on what we want to see, type of a thing, and then we'll communicate it to him. So maybe we can have that on the agenda for the next meeting. Consider it again. Okay, as it stands for this project, do you want to continue this item, or do you want to...
No, we'll make a motion to continue it to the next meeting.
Okay. I got a motion by Director Fairbanks and a second by Director Blair to continue consideration of this item until the next meeting. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, no one is opposed. We'll reconsider this at the next meeting. Item number 4 is a possible well site exchange for water service. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the district was approached by Mr. I'm not sure about his last name. Kulikov. About a possible exchange of a well site for service to his property. He presently owns approximately 15 acres near the intersection of Don Road and Highway 101. This area is by the county designated rural residential, which means 5-acre parcels, so therefore the area could develop into approximately 3 parcels. Production in this area is someplace around 800 to 1,000 gallons a minute. It's northerly of this area. The district has its Eureka well, which produces over 800 gallons a minute. And if the district wishes to serve this property, it could be done a number of ways, annex it to the district. The district can island annex property. Request LAFCO to serve the area outside the property without annexing. And if there was a mutual water company, there could be an agreement between the two agencies for service. And there's a map attached to you showing the location of the property with respect to the boundaries of the district and a blow-up of the property. The applicant is in the audience. He may wish to address the board on the matter.
Okay, those are a lot of some big-time options are laid out. I mean...
You know, those are ways that the district can serve the property.
Okay. Any preliminary questions by the board right now? Mr. Kulikoff, is that correct?
Yeah.
Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Just to add, I'm in the house with Mr. Jones this morning. The road over there, we have another option of selling a well-timed about 14 acres. Unfortunately, he's not here. He's supposed to be here. And we have just completed, I don't know, not long ago, a year or two ago, a site there on the attraction.
I think he's proposing similar at the Viacanta well site, where the property owner, I guess, drilled a well and then had a production well, and then there was some transaction with the district to acquire the well site. And what he's proposing, besides just going with the easement, maybe a combination of the easement or some agreement working up with the district where the landowner would drill a well to district specifications and requirements. Agreement worked out, so if it is successful and everything else, the district would acquire the site for, I guess, some compensation to the property owner.
Okay, monetary compensation as opposed to annexation or service of parcels?
Well, whatever case you do, you'd have to serve the property. Those are the three options you have.
Okay. So the obvious question is, which is most beneficial to the district? Do we have any feelings on that?
Yeah.
Okay. We could do an analysis and come back.
Yeah.
I'd like...
Obviously, we're going to need
I don't know how everybody else feels, but I like to annex him into the district and give him three services.
If that's an option.
That's an option. I like to have annex him into the district, because then nobody can say that we're not pumping out by the district. Either the district, we're going to have to move the pipe out there anyhow.
Yeah, you're looking at maybe, you know,
how far is
about 5,000 feet of pipeline.
Alex said before he didn't want to see a parcel where somebody got 21 or 31 lots, so this kind of meets Alex's criteria, I think so.
I would agree to that.
I think we got Alex halfway happy on this one.
Our pipe is how far away from that now, Doug?
Right at the intersection of Viacanta and Camino Caballo, right where it says Viacanta, right close to that where that A is. It comes down and it goes up Camino Caballo.
Right.
So it passes Don Road. During construction, a T was put in there for future expansion or pipeline going down Don Road to Eureka Well. The general concept at that time is, since the district has a potential well site on the so-called Moore property, which is over by Highway 1 between Sheridan Road and Guadalupe, that if that well came on and we have only one 10-inch line coming up Willow Road, it would not be sufficient capacity to have both wells running at the same time. So.
Okay.
Bringing another pipeline down Don Road to Eureka Well would assist that aspect of moving the water into the district.
Which one? The Don Road.
On Don Road? There is none in Don Road right now.
On
Willow Road is 10 inch.
Okay. But there's one on Camino Caballo, isn't
there? Yeah, Camino Caballo is 16 inch.
Okay. And that goes all the way down to Viacanta?
It goes all the way down to Don Road. 16 inch, and I think it's 12 inch from Don Road to Viacanta.
Okay.
Where's that? Is that Fairview going to go in between? If it goes in between, is it going to go in between this well site and the edge of the district?
The Woodland project.
Is that Woodlands that's going in there?
Yeah, there's kind of a little dash line that you see there. It's south of Don Road and goes all the way almost to the edge of the mesa. I put in a couple dash lines in there so the board can kind of outline.
Yeah, so it's between us and this is us right here, and this is, so it'll be in between, right?
Yeah. What's the, does any of this play into the water master plan? I mean, are there Are there things in there that could direct us as to the most beneficial location? Or has Jim Gehring got an idea of maybe...
The master plan calls for, you know, at the present time, you need a well someplace around 500 or 600 gallons per minute.
Right. Let's say 600 gallons per minute.
Yes, you know, there's a couple other options, you know, which we briefly discussed is maybe looking for a well site near the intersection of Villa Concha and Camino Caballo. So, you know, the pipeline would not be extended down to Highway 1 at this time, whether that's more economical or not. There's been preliminary contact with the Woodland Project on preliminary discussions, and I think they came and talked to the board way back when about annexing to the district. They presently have four wells drilled on their property, each producing over 1,000 gallons a minute.
Right, and they're right. Where's their closest well, would you say? Oh, okay.
Their well is where it says probably. Drill hole, right where about where the B is on Don Road. They have a well site there, and they have another well site probably where Highway 1 bends, where that pipe comes to a point right off of Highway 1, and then there's two other well sites southerly of the area.
They're not currently pumping those wells very much. I wonder what would happen if they... Well, you know, it looks like they're relatively close to existing wells now as far as pumping depression problems might occur, but scale on this thing is misleading. May not be any problem at all.
And maybe I could show it up on the big board here for everybody to see it.
Basically, the red is the district boundary, and this green area is what they call the Woodland Project. This is the Villa Concha well. This is Eureka well. We presently have a pipeline coming down Villa Concha and all the way.
Don Road's farther out than that.
That's Don Road right here.
Yeah.
Where's this, the proposed site?
The proposed site right here.
Yeah, it's very hard. It's very good clear on this. On the map, it looks good. Like that might not be the best location at the current time. It might work out too.
Well, it's better for that other 16-inch pipe. Better to have it there and get it close to the 16-inch pipe than have it over close to the 10-inch pipe if you want to put water in the 10-inch pipe anyhow.
Where's the 16-inch pipe now?
Right along the center.
Yeah, let's see. What I'm saying is we need something a little more east. Close to the 16-inch pipe, but something a little more east.
Yeah, you're talking about someplace east.
Yeah.
On this area here.
Right. Not where we originally, designed it. We can utilize the Moore wells as it is with the current.
We can put this well online or anything else, which would more or less be a backup to the. But if we pump both of those in that small, that 10-inch line, your production will go down because the friction losses, the pressure goes up. It would probably be wise to pump one or the other, not both at the same time.
All right.
Right now, I think we have about 200 psi out there. The pressures are getting quite high.
So the proposed Mr. Kulikoff's offer is on a piece of, on that piece right there, west of Woodland.
All right, west of Woodland, just north of Highway 101. A proposed recent project that blew up 5 acres in here. I think Caltrans has proposed realignment of Highway 1 through here, which basically created this triangle.
All right. It'd be hard to annex that piece out there on a spot without annexing Woodland from a
from a holistic standpoint.
Well,
it's kind of odd to annex that island out there and get a well site and then not annex the thing in between.
That's the thing. I mean, I've probably got some.
Bob's got big views here.
No, I firmly intend to see us annex Woodlands because I think that we're eventually going to get stuck with their sewer system and everything else. And I figure, why shouldn't we get to it in the beginning? I mean, I just feel that if that golf course is going to go in, we want to know which way it's going to go and have some control over what they're going to do. I think we ought to annex them. They may even pick up some of the cost of this line that goes out to this gentleman's property. Plus, those people out there need roads, and that area is really bad. Those people who live out there need roads anyhow. Development would be in large parcels and stuff, and it would help put roads in out there where people need them instead of putting assessment districts on them and raising their taxes. I just think it's a win-win situation for the people who live out there all the way around. I may be crazy, but that's the way it is.
Any other comments?
Well,
I'll
move.
That raises a lot of issues regarding annexation, which we're going to have to address, though.
Yeah.
It's good to say that, but it doesn't exactly match what our annexation policy says right now, in my estimation.
Does the board want to feel out the Woodlands ideas of what they're planning to do and proceed before?
We've been doing that already, haven't we?
Well, not recently. I mean, they came in contact us, was it a year ago or...
Has been even more than that, I believe, since I saw the original presentation down at the Senior Citizen Center on the ages ago. And then it cooled down for a while, and now it's come back again in recent years.
That's a question I kind of get. What's the total project cost of the Woodlands? I mean, does anybody have an idea how much money they're going to spend, what that project's worth?
You don't know, Coach.
Any ballpark figures have been kicked around?
Yeah, there's four. I saw a plan that had four golf courses, I think a recreation center, and a number of isolated R&D, and I don't know what goes in the R&D.
See, what I keep getting at, and I like is, Royal Granny needs a high school. I don't think Royal Granny's got a chance to pass the bond issue this time around like they had the last time. I don't think people are going to go for it. But this guy in Woodlands, at one of these meetings he was here, he said he'd even donate a school site, if I remember. He said he'd donate a high school site. Whatever that capital project's worth is commercial, semi-commercial, whatever, is going to generate enough tax money to probably halfway build a school. And there again, you get back to putting a bond issue on the people who are using some sort of development to build a school. I like somebody else paying for it rather than us.
I think the CMR school district already has a property for the proposed high school.
True, but I mean, it's just that there's different ways of financing things, and I just don't think putting people to debt's the way to do it. I mean, it's different in philosophy with some of the other people, maybe. But that's also what I'm looking at on this Woodlands thing. This is money that's going to help Napomo, and I'd rather see that pay for people's roads out there than assessment districts. You know, I got a $14,000 assessment on my taxes. It makes it a little difficult come tax time. I would think those people live out there on Eucalyptus Road have the same thing.
Well, I think, you know, Director Small brings up a point that if you know, the board negotiates with the Woodland projects and annexes that area into the district, it would be just simple annexing additional 15 acres in and providing service that way.
Yeah.
You know, without asking for a well site, if some agreement could be worked out with the Woodland project. Now, you can start throwing out all kinds of options. But that's a big if.
Well, yeah. The only reason I brought it up in that context is because we have a large issue with Woodland that's been brewing for a very long time. And if we address that first, it's going to solve the other. One way or the other. It's going to either make it a real easy decision to annex them or an extremely difficult one. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to address the primary concern. The way I see about it is a consideration of Woodland and our annexation policy and that well agreement out there.
Now, I don't know what the timing you're looking at for your
doing something on your property. Do you have any time frame?
I don't have no time frame.
Okay.
Can the board indicate the gentleman what position he is now in the hold?
Yeah.
As far as this proposal?
We need to become more, I think, active on consideration of that woodland thing. And I didn't mean to step on Alex. I don't mean that at all. Because we need to, like you said, you had a meeting planned for Woodland. They were supposed to meet with us at, to best of my knowledge, they haven't done that in the last couple of weeks. That meeting needs to occur, and the board needs to hear directly from them, or representatives from them, what their intentions are. We need to solve this this water overlying rights on the water and all that type of thing, too.
I'm just saying that Mr. Kulikoff wants to need some indication tonight from us as to what how his approval is received tonight.
I think because of the water master plan, the district needs a well site, and he was very timely coming in. If there wasn't any other options that the district has, I think it'd be opportune for both the Mr. Kulikoff and the district to work up something. But because of these other parameters, hanging fire, the woodland project, if that comes about some way, I don't see any problem of adding Mr. Kulikoff's 15 acres into his position for service.
And again, anything along those lines, you have to be approved by the lab as well.
Right.
Well.
And right up against Woodland, then, wouldn't he?
But his property at the common boundary with Woodland.
Yeah.
I guess it's across the future Highway 1.
Maybe we could give him some direction as to say that if, depending on what Woodlands goes, that we would consider annexing him if Woodland is annexed in, because he has offered his property thus as a raw consideration. It's this way it kind of makes a win-win situation for him. It doesn't leave him hanging out there thinking he's not going to get water anywhere.
That's a definite possibility. I think at this time it's silly for us to get too wrapped up in extending 5,000 feet of line through an area where we might have a hookup closer to that in the near future if we solve the Woodland deal. So, we have we've got a primary and a large issue before us on the Woodland project, and that is going to affect Mr. Kulikoff's situation, obviously. Do you have any indication as to when Woodland might be back for a meeting with you?
No, but I can call him up and ask him maybe if the meeting has been rescheduled. I'm talking about this time.
Can you get me a ballpark figure on that, just like
possible?
Yeah. In other words, what they think the improvement would be worth at the end?
I have no idea.
Project cost.
Millions. No, I mean I kind of like to know, like, are they going to spend $5 million, $10 million, whatever that piece of property out there is assessed at? Say it's assessed at, they're paying $2,000 taxes. If they put in a $20 million project, then the taxes on that thing are going to go to $200,000 or $300,000 or whatever it is, and the schools get most of that.
That brings up, when we get down to 9-1, that issue of tax exemption.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's... Maybe I'm trying to make this thing too complicated, but I can't see how you can't get involved in land use and a whole bunch of stuff when you start looking at the future of Napoleon and what way we're going. I mean, I think it's more to it just running water lines out there.
Well, the planning department, I guess there's a little courtesy agreement. Any substantial developments on the Mesa, they send that information to the district for review. And I think we're trying to get a working relationship with the county planning department. There was this small pie-shaped property that was brought to the board previously, which is on the south edge of the Woodland project, right on the bluff. I think it was a 19-lot subdivision, 2-acre parcel, capable of splitting down to 1-acre parcel, I think it was.
and the county planning department did not have to send that information to the district, but they sent it to the district for comment. We commented on it and sent it back to them. And so, you know, we're trying to get a working relationship with the county. And I think, you know, they realize that the district here is kind of a so-called forefront of prior becoming a city, and therefore trying to keep the district involved of areas going on in its fringes. And anything within the boundaries that comes down here definitely.
Okay, well, it sounds like, you know, we've got several major options here. Mutual Water Company, I mean, that is a possibility that I guess could be explored. You have to know the pros and cons of that.
What,
pros might be less.
Right.
Coming up with an agreement between us and Mutual.
Yeah, as I understand, that does not have to go for that.
And then the other two options do consider will require LAFCO approval. We also need to have one more meeting, at least one more, with the Woodland representatives, Mr. Klukoff. And as soon as we accomplish that, I think we'll be in contact with you as to how that will affect you. And of course, if that occurs, if a Woodland rep comes in and talks to you, maybe we can set it up for Mr. Klukoff to be present as well. If he's interested in that project, we'll give you a call and set up a meeting. Were you aware of the Woodland golf complex and all that that's going in there? They've been in negotiations with us too. Not negotiations, but talking to us about well sites and that type of thing. So that has to all be looked at once.
Is this delay a little? You going to be upset your plans at all or anything?
Okay, I guess we can't make an action on that. But as soon as we get, as soon as you gather more information from Woodland, then we might need to have a limited agenda meeting of the board just to consider that one item. We always end up adding three or four things to these special meetings, and they turn out like regular meetings. I wouldn't mind being here for 2 or 3 hours, but I want to solve this one. So this one's in the back of my mind every time I come down here. It'd be nice to get some closure on this thing.
So the board will table this meeting and direct staff to contact the Woodland representatives and see if we can come up with a meeting and go from there.
Yeah, I like a feel for what type of agreement they have in mind. You know, something, I want to see something black and white. And right now, I know the name Woodland and that's it. I've heard things about hotels, and there's even rumors of a professional business complex associated with it. And I heard that the courses are going to be private, two are public, and,
Yeah, there's, conceptual drawings of what's going on there, but I don't think anything agreed and finally approved.
Yeah. If we make a presentation, they might be able to answer some of Bob's questions regarding tax revenues and stuff for the county.
It's not just for the county, it's
well, for the schools.
Yeah, for the schools too, because I really don't think the bond issue is going to apply. Most of the people in this area, at least the stuff that's been out in the papers, they say that a lot of people who are property owners are older and that they're not going to vote for it. And we need a school, and we need it like yesterday. And
it's hard to imagine the interest in everyone moving here with the situation in the schools like it is.
Well, I went to the Royal Granny School Board meeting last night, and that, even though it's overcrowded, from what I got out of it, it's a pretty top-flight high school. They're doing a good job. Their kids seem to be getting high scores compared to the rest of the state, and I think the school board and its teachers there are doing a pretty good job. So,
thank you.
No, really. That's at least what I got out of the school board meeting. And
I didn't do anything.
Well, a couple of my kids did, too. And I really think they need a school, but I think we need a different way
of financing it than what's being proposed, yes?
Boy, this is turning into a county supervisor's meeting, pretty soon enough. Bob has the big picture.
We'll privatize the voucher system.
Yeah. It's funny, all paths cross, and these are things to consider. Okay, on item number four, then, I guess we're going to have to continue that until we have further negotiations with Woodland. Okay. Any other board comments, public comments, questions? Okay. Let's move on to item number five, then. This is waterline extension reimbursement regarding Frontage Road and Grandview Avenue location. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, track 1813, which is Skyland Park, is a development on Frontage Road between Grandview Avenue and Division Street. And there presently exists a 6-inch water line down what they call Conception, which when the district first was formed in 1965, they put a 6-inch line down an easement, and basically that easement is pretty much abandoned with all the apartment houses going in there and development. And therefore, the district wishes to abandon that 6-inch line because of the difficulty of maintaining a water line in people's backyards and along fence lines and concrete walls, brick walls. And to do this, a new line needs to be installed with greater capacity in the Frank Road, and this basically is compliant with the our master plan developed by Boyle Engineering. And Skylark Development would request to install the 8-inch line down the Frank Road, and they inquired about a reimbursement agreement with the district, where as the line puts down the road to their property, any property between their project and where they extend it that benefit from this project, if they desire to hook on to this line, would reimburse the developer for that portion of the line constructed across the front of their property, which would benefit their particular property. Skyline has requested a reimbursement agreement. There's a number of parcels, A through E, shown on your map, that presently receive water to the backyard line. Parcel A, which is the apartment complex that was developed a number of years ago at the intersection of Grandy Avenue and the French Road, has been completed. They extended the line down Grandy, but not down the French Road, which like, right now all products going in. The district requests water lines and improvements extended down the front of all the public aspects of the improvements. This area is multi-dwelling units. There's three parcels in between the corner parcel and the Skylark Park, which are basically residential one units on those properties. It's anticipated that in the future, as the economy goes, they will probably develop into their highest and best use, and therefore, when they do, they'd come into the district, and the district would collect the reimbursement fees from the property owners and make that distribution to the developer. Like in all our reimbursement agreements, they are good for a 10-year period, and the district collects 10% for administrative charge administering the process. The district had worked out an agreement with the developers. One concession the district gave is that on the parcel A, which is the apartment complex, since it should have gone in, the improvements at that time were not. I felt that in fairness, the district would pick up the cost of that frontage and reimburse the developer for that. And kind of a semi-carrot to get that line put in the frontage road, basically. It's halfway through the block now, and the next development on the next corner would probably extend it clear through. Part of this process to get reimbursement is we need to notify the property owners that are affected by this, and so it's recommended that the board set a public hearing in the near future, suggested March 20th, in which the property owners that this water line improvement affects with respect to reimbursement will be notified and given the information of the construction costs and their appropriate share. The in your packet is the cost spread for the improvements and
a notice of a hearing and also a Exhibit A, which shows the parcels all involved in this development.
That value on the M.J. Ross construction memo, $17,283.
Yes.
And we've borrowed that number and we put that in our this proposed reimbursement agreement.
Yeah, that is.
Do we have any supporting numbers for that, or is this all we have? Just the
I have the invoices on it.
Oh, okay.
They're basically matched.
Okay, good. Yeah, that was one of my questions. And then the regarding your memo to the board on your in the second paragraph there, you said that we know Parcel A's been in there for a while. That's that apartment complex that exists currently, right? But you say here that it's receiving water service via the backyard, and it was developed several years ago. They should have extended it across the parcel on Frontage Road. But
yeah, they extended down Grandy Avenue. The water line came down Grandy Avenue, went on the back parcel line of what they call Conception.
Right.
When they built that corner lot, they extended the line from Conception down to the Frontage Road, but they should also extend it down. I mean. Down the front road across the front of their property, which they did not.
Now, was that a condition that the board levied across them at that time?
They should have, but they didn't.
Okay. But I'm saying, did they have an obligation to do it?
Normally, any improvements go in. What we're doing now is all the off-site improvements are put in across the front of the property based on the master plan.
So I guess it's questionable as to whether we had a mandate upon them or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
The only reason I'm asking, is because you've mentioned in here that they might consider district paying a footage fee for Parcel A since they've existed before these requirements upon Parcel E. I'm wondering if they were obligated at that time to do a portion of the frontage construction. It might not warrant this, the district paying a portion of it.
That's possible, but normally when a project comes in like that, the district should have required the improvements put in.
But we're not sure if we did. We don't have the record.
It's obvious that they weren't put in because the water line does not exist.
Okay.
Is that when Ryder was here?
Yeah. A similar situation happened with Bonita Homes on Grandy Avenue. It should have, I can't remember what it was, how many lengths of foot. About 400 feet of pipes had been put in along one of the French Road, which was not done, but then when the contractor, the district, went in at its cost and put that line in. It's a similar concept until we catch up with, you know, what we're doing.
Yeah, likewise. They could probably make the argument that if we mandated against what we didn't inspect, it was our negligence. Okay.
Sometimes in this transition area, you have to work around it.
Okay, and this is just on a related matter. I know we have this reimbursement agreement in effect now. Not this particular
agreement,
okay,
but
the policy.
The policy is in effect, right.
Okay, yeah. He was giving it like I thought Doug took care of this before ours. No, that's not what I meant. I mean the policy for reimbursement procedures is on the books.
Yes.
But we had, didn't we also have a reimbursement procedure? Maybe it was for phase payment of capacity charges or something. But we allowed one to sunset clause and die. Was that the right one?
But
payment of capacity of system fees?
Yeah, that's
right.
Different than this.
Right, I understand. But that one, this jarred my memory on the reimbursement agreement. I was trying to remember which one did we allow to terminate. It was the one on capacity.
The district had a policy that allowed for in phase for larger projects that they could develop in phases and pay their system fees and pay in phases. Yeah.
Greater at a time.
And that sunsets out January 1st next year.
Okay. Okay. So it's not quite dead yet.
Right.
All right. But okay. Okay. Are there any representatives from the track here from Skylark Park? Yes, did you have anything you wanted to add? Sir, could you state your name? And
the name's Don Pruitt.
Don Pruitt, okay.
That's my work for the park.
Uh-huh.
And we supplied Mr. Jones with the invoices and
okay.
All the rest of the information that we've had to do before the project got started. And, you know, about the time the project started, we discussed some of the things that were asked at that time to get on the reimbursement.
Right. So you've had time to kind of to peruse the four-page agreement that's proposed tonight?
I haven't seen this, no.
Okay, we need to get you a copy of that.
Can we send it to us?
Okay. We don't have to make one. You can take mine before you leave. In fact, you can have it now if you want to come up. I'll look on. You have an extra? Okay. You can give that a look.
See, this thing comes out.
Anything else you wanted to add, Mr. Pruitt? Okay. Thank you. Any board, yeah.
On lots B, C, and D. Now, they're what, 3/10 of an acre? That's it?
Yeah, we go by front footage on this thing.
Yeah, and that's going to be broken down what into high density units, right? Like four or five townhouses or something like that in a cul-de-sac, or
it's not single family building.
Right. So what I'm getting at is that going to the traffic part of that, is that going to come out on a frontage road, or is that going to go out behind on a road behind?
I don't depend on how it's developed. It most likely will come out on the frontage road.
Because like the Skylark, where it says Skylark Way here, looks like all that stuff's going to come out on a cul-de-sac and then all come out in one chunk.
Yeah, Skylark Way, and maybe Mr. Pruitt can explain on that. This is the first of a Skylark Way is developing in three phases, and then there's another project behind A, B, C, and D, which is like it, and there'd be a roadway going to that other project. So this is kind of the first phase of a two-phase development, I guess.
What I'm getting at is the traffic, in other words, if B, C, and D are developed, is the traffic going to go out the back and come down on the grant, or is it just all going to come out onto the frontage road?
It'll probably all come up frontage road because
frontage road.
Yeah, they don't have access out there.
People come pretty well smoking down that frontage road. That's why I wanted to,
It is wider in front of our project.
Yeah.
And there's good sight distance.
Yeah, I just was curious how they're going to be.
They're widened so they can smoke better.
Yeah, there you go. I used to look down that way. Yeah, it's pretty good down there.
Okay, any other board comments? Board questions of Mr. Jones?
How is that portion zone that said 16 on it?
Yeah,
on the corner of Division and
it's probably the same zoning as all the rest of the parcels, probably multifamily. I'm not sure what the zone is.
Is that vacant now, too, or is there something on it?
It's vacant.
Yeah, it's all vacant.
Is there a commercial area?
I don't believe there's any commercial area in that. It's north of this area where the commercial area is.
Okay.
I think, the applicant looked at buying that property, but they wanted, I guess, too much money for it, so they didn't acquire the property. It's kind of a weird looking property. Whether it can be developed in anything is questionable, unfortunately.
Is the zoning the same?
On the property?
Well, I think the planning department changed the zoning on that a little bit. It's commercial and residential.
Oh, it is right in the corner?
That's
on Division?
I have the single budget.
I know. I mean that. I mean, we can't do anything about that. But that, to me, the freeway frontage should have been commercial all the way around. There's a lot of noise comes off that freeway and a lot of vibration from trucks and everything else. And I can't see where that's really conducive to people to live. But the county seems to like that too.
I mean, it's because there's not enough commercial interest here yet.
Well,
it's
I don't know,
too many of those people like bonds and all that stuff.
Yeah, but you think if when people go by, they can see a store or something, they might come off the freeway and spend some money here instead of hustling down to Santa Barbara and spend their money down there. And this is sure as heck isn't going to slow them up there.
Well, don't take it out on Mr. Pruitt.
It's not his fault. No, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm
Mr. Blair, we have officer
department. Yeah, that's